his arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
That is better. All right, good morning. Welcome. This is WCNO in Palm City, Florida. You're listening to Wednesday Live, and we have all kinds of things going on here this morning. It's not a new year yet, but it is... It's going to become a new year real soon, and I trust that you had a year of great blessings from the Father, and that you are ready to see some great things that God has in store for us in this coming year. I have a wonderful friend. We haven't heard from him or his bride in a little while, Tim Wydrow. Tim, welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you. We can't see you, but we know that you're out there. And we want to thank you and your wife for really challenging the body of Christ to take part in a 21-day fast. We have just a few minutes. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and when that fast will start, how people can link up with your website and get journals and other things if they're looking for them, and can join in and be a part of the Daniel Fast.
Well, thank you. God has placed in our heart for the last several years to begin the year with a 21-day fasting and prayer in the same way that Daniel fasted back in Babylon when he did his fast. He did two fasts, well, I'm sure he did many more, but the 21-day Daniel fast was a fasting for his to heal the land of Israel. And we want to do the same thing to heal our land here in the United States. And our whole goal is to support and to have other believers pray and fast with us so that we can spark a revival, as it says in Chronicles 7:14. To turn our faces back to the Lord.
Amen.
So that he will heal our land. And that is really the whole thing, to spark a revival and to do it in an organized fashion so that we can all be believers holding hands together and coming together to pray and fast for sparking the revival in our nation that is so needed nowadays.
Amen. And this we promoted as a radio station last year because I believe God honors the journey of believers who pursue God. When we pursue God, the Word says, if we draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto us. And so this is a very important thing. Tim, how would people find out more information about the Daniel Fast, some of the resources you all have available, And again, let's just mention this is scheduled to start on January the 8th. Is that correct?
Yes, it's Sunday, January the 8th for 21 days. And so I believe it will end on the 28th of January. So that's our schedule. Gives you a little time to get ready and to get the guides and resources you may need for your small group, for your church, and all that can be found at danielfast.org. That's danielfast.org. There are guides and workbooks, a couple different guides and workbooks. This year, we're happy to announce that we also have a guide and workbook in Spanish. So if there are any folks who are listening who prefer Spanish, we have guides, workbooks, and we also have a cookbook because everybody was asking us, what do we eat? What do we eat? So it's got lots of recipes and prayers and so on. So you can find all that at danielfast.org or on Amazon. You'd have to look for Maria Turner-Widrow as the author. That's my wife, who's not feeling too well today, otherwise she would be here with us, but she's just a little under the weather today.
All right, and our prayers that God brings quick and speedy restoration to your wife. And just looking at some of the topics in this book, how to use the guide, what is prayer, the purpose of prayer, the purpose of fasting, what is the Holy Spirit's hotline, what is fasting, the story of Daniel, talks about how to prepare your heart, how to prepare your body, and how to set some goals and get ready. There's a few days to get ready. And so I have on my console a few books today. I'm not going to give them all away, but I do have a 21-day Daniel Fast workbook that I will make available to the first caller that calls WCNO and request it this morning. Free, we'll ship it out to you. It's the book on the Daniel Fast, 21-day fast, prayer, daily prayer journal. It's a workbook. It's very user-friendly, and we will make this available. Karen's going to give the number.
That number is 772-221-1100.
Indeed it is, unless you want to call the other number, but it's 888-221-1100.
Look at that.
I'll get the numbers wrong. I've only given them a few thousand times. But give us a call here at the station, 221-1100. That's a 772 area code. And give us a call. Let us know if you would like to have this daily prayer journal for a 21-day Daniel fast. No charge to you. Other than, plan on looking it over or being a part of the fast or giving it to someone that will actually utilize it. So once again, Tim, we thank God for you. And one more time, how can people get involved in the Daniel fast that's going to be right here in the Treasure Coast, and that's going to start on the 8th?
They can just simply go to danielfast.org. And all the information is there. There's even a video of each book. In other words, there's like a video review, a couple minutes showing exactly what's in the book. If you just click on the video, you'll see exactly what you get when you go page by page through the book. So that way, you won't have any surprises. You're going to get the exact book that you want, and that will help you through the fast. But more importantly, it'll keep organized and us all together praying and fasting together for our land and with your small group or your church.
Amen.
It's a great way to be organized.
Amen. Now, the phone has been ringing, Tim, just so you know. People are interested in being a part of the Daniel Fast. And so, of course, I'm suspecting that I'm going to hear any moment that we already have at least one caller that's wanting that book. I'm just, You've been generous to us, and I have another book, Message from God. It's a weekly sermon journal with inspirational Bible promise. If you did not get in as the first caller on the Daniel Fast book, and you'd like to have a little journal be beneficial for sermons and for your quiet time with God, I also will make that available. So did we give away the book? The book is gone. Let's get rid of that one. Now, if somebody else calls and wants to have a daily journal, sermon journal from the White Rose, that'll be available. Tim, we love you. God bless you. Put us on your schedule for next week.
We will do that. Thank you so much, Jonathan. I appreciate it.
Consider yourself hugged and mugged, brother. Blessings.
Blessings to you.
All right. Welcome, Karen.
Hello. Welcome to work.
Yeah. Welcome to work, right. We still have one of our faithful team members that is out of town.
Right.
Yes, Mr. David is vacationing in California, as a matter of fact. And so, David, be safe, be blessed. He may be listening to us today. We love you. So come home soon and see if you can find Paul out there somewhere, because if you do, we'll drag him back to the studio. So, Karen, what do we have that we need to cover? And in just a couple moments, we're going to welcome Penny Cook as well as her son. And we are going to talk a little bit about some of the great things God has done in their family as well as is doing in their lives.
Amen. Yes, we have a note here from one of our angels. She always calls in as
an angel. And what's an angel?
An angel is an individual who does not want their name announced. Yes. They'd like to remain anonymous. And she's a longtime listener and supporter of the station.
She is.
And she's from Loxahatchee. And she has continually asked us to pray for her grandson, Justin, to get his life on track. And I know she has been here. We have been praying for Justin. And I believe that she has raised him. And I think there's nothing like a praying grandmother or a praying mother.
Justin, wherever you are, God's going to get you.
That's right.
You can run, but you can't hide. Okay, so we're going to lift that up in prayer. Also, what else do you have?
That would be it.
That would be it?
You've got the note for the... that other issue there.
Yes, and I don't think we're going to get to that today.
Yeah, it'll take too long.
All right. Jared, welcome. Penny, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And you are all the way from...
Australia. Good day, mate.
Hey. Where's David at a time like this, Karen? David would love to get into a little accent competition here. That would be quite awesome.
I failed miserably.
No.
I am American through and through.
Hey, no. The accent is coming through. It's coming through. Penny, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And so, Penny, you've been on air with us before, and you are from our area. You live on the Treasure Coast of Florida.
Right.
And you have written how many books?
I have written one. I'm in a few other compilations, and I'm in the process of writing a couple of others. But, I have Pursuing Prayer, Being Effective in a Busy World.
Being effective in a busy world. Okay, so that is a very important book, and I know that we have talked some about that. In fact, I have my personal copy here that is a signed copy, and sometimes people give me books and they think I never get to them, but I do. Some people think you pray and God never gets to it, but He is getting to it. My wife reminds me, even when you don't see God working, God is working.
Yes, He is.
And so this is an awesome book on prayer.
Thank you.
Why on prayer? Why did you write this? How did you write this? And how does prayer tie in with your family? And this is your son, right?
Mm-hmm. This is my son, Jared.
Son Jared. Okay, so tell us a little bit about how you came to write a book on prayer.
Well, when my pastor asked me to teach a class for the women, I was leading women's ministry at my church. I just knew right away that I wanted to do it on prayer.
Okay.
And looked for other material that, I'm sure there's wonderful stuff out there. As a matter of fact, I argued with God for a while about it.
Mm-hmm.
But He was downloading this acrostic for prayer to me, and I started jotting it down and finally gave in and said, okay, Lord, I'll do this. And it was just a class at my church. Then it became magazine articles, and then it became a book.
So it's an acrostic.
It is an acrostic for prayer.
So we have
near and dear to my heart.
6 weeks, mm-hmm. set up 6 weeks, a daily reading.
Right.
And it's not just a reading, it's an interactive
yes.
workbook.
Yep.
And the first is for the P?
Is being proactive.
Proactive.
Proactively pursuing prayer.
Pursuing prayer.
If we wait till we have time, we'll never get to it.
In fact, you know, you were talking about a lot of books being out on prayer. Prayer may be one of the most talked about and least practiced things in the body of Christ. Because all kinds of people talk about prayer. I mean, we know, oh, yeah, prayer and fasting. No, that probably shouldn't be in the Bible, you know. So the proactive part is actually doing it. And I still pray regularly, Father, teach me to pray.
Yeah.
I want to understand intimacy in the presence of God and have ears to hear. You know, I read about the prophets. I think about just building the ark. I mean, that took some pretty precise documentation, you know. I mean, for Noah to get that right and do it right, for Moses to do things to get the tabernacle right, all those dimensions. And, you know, we look at that and go, huh, that was way back there, wasn't it? I wonder if God forgot how to talk or if he no longer is able to interact in the details of our life. So proactivity, okay? The R is for what?
Remember. Remember God's deeds, because when we remember what God has done in the past, whether it be through our life, someone else's, or in the Bible, it builds our faith.
It does, for sure.
And it's cause for worship.
Now this A becomes a little sticky.
Mm-hmm. The part of prayer I think we leave off a lot when we're not intimately praying, we're not fervently praying, we're just popcorn praying, which is great. We have conversation with God all day long. That's how we pray without ceasing. But at some point, we need that intimate connection with God where we acknowledge our sins and ask forgiveness.
Yeah.
And that is honoring God as our Savior.
Yeah. Amen.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, acknowledging sin is not saying, you know, I practice sin every day so I can have something to pray about tomorrow or tonight. It really is, when I think about that, I think of the great work of God's love in us to bring us into the kingdom and to redeem us. And that's an awesome thing. So then we come to the why.
The why is yield to his will. And you may have noticed by now that all these go along with the Lord's Prayer. So each letter of the acrostic is a different aspect of the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So in that part, we talk about God's specific will for our life as well as his general will.
Excellent. Yield to his will. And then we come to the E.
Enjoy his daily bread.
Enjoy. I think you've done this a couple times. Enjoy his daily bread. So how important is daily bread?
Well, that's probably the part of prayer we do the most, right? We hand him our list. We bring our supplication.
Mm-hmm.
He's told us to bring him our burdens. But are we really enjoying him as our daily bread, the bread of life?
Amen. You know, I remember we used to have those secondhand bread stores. And in our family, we would go to those places. In fact, I thought that's where bread came from. You know, I thought they came from the secondhand bread store. But the Father desires us to have fresh bread.
That's right.
Fresh bread in our lives.
Yep.
And what about the R?
That is rest in him.
Rest in him.
After we've done all the rest, then we rest.
This is an awesome interactive guide on prayer. Jared, have you gone through this?
I have a copy of myself, and it's got coffee spills all over it, and it's been used quite a few times. So yeah,
it's a great book. And in fact, I just put an order in today for 25. So some of our close friends that are involved in some of our small groups, they're going to be handed one of these, and we're going to dig right in as we get into the new year and start the first 40 days of, as a church, we enjoy 40 days of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I like to call it feasting on Jesus instead of fasting. It seems to work better that way. That. But it's not about just giving up some food. It's really about making room for more of God.
Amen. Yeah.
And so, you know, I used to have a dear friend, a precious lady, and she said, you know, God made some temples and then he made some cathedrals. And she said, I'm one of his larger ones. And, you know, she'd always joke about that. And, you know, fasting is about becoming, I believe, a grand cathedral for God, really opening up our life and allowing God to enlarge us. All right, so Penny, tell me about your son, and who is he, what does he do, and why is he here, and how did he get into the kingdom, and how did he get down under he's on top?
yeah, he is on top. he's the reason prayer became so special to me.
Okay.
Because I prayed for 13 years while he was addicted to every drug available.
Wow.
And times we didn't even know where he was or what he was doing. But God heard those prayers. And but it was fervent prayer. It was praying scripture and really getting on my knees. And, you know, at times I felt like my prayers were hitting the ceiling. And we can all feel like that sometimes.
Yes, we can.
They didn't hit the ceiling, and God heard, and Jared is now a pastor after 13 years of drug addiction. His life was turned around, and couldn't be more proud of him.
Awesome. Jared, what was going on during those 13 years while she's jerking on heaven and saying, hey, heaven, I have this son.
Yep.
You know where he is. Go get him.
Yep.
And the hounds of heaven were on your trail.
Hot on my trail.
Yeah, what was happening? I mean, we have people listening today that, like, well, Karen, you just mentioned, we have a grandson here.
Yeah.
We have people call us, and we have moms, dads, a lot of grandparents that are praying for their families.
Yeah.
What's going on while you're out there and prayers are being lifted up? Does it make a difference?
I think the biggest thing I always think about when I think about my mom and her book and me being a catalyst. I wasn't probably the main reason, but I was definitely a catalyst in that book. But I think about 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not late with his promises as some measure lateness.
Mm-hmm.
He is holding himself back on account of you, you know, not wanting anyone to get lost, but everybody to come to repentance. And I think about that verse and like, why wouldn't God answer my mom's prayer? Prayer of a righteous avails much, right? And I'm like, my mom's been Christian, hardcore Christian all for as long as I know.
That's awesome.
You know, and why wouldn't God answer her prayers right away? And I think he's so kind. God is just so kind that in the 13 years he brought my brother to Christ, you know, and my brother and my dad being a head deacon who, you know, growing up, I never knew him as a hardcore Christian, but he was the one coming to jail when I was in jail, sharing scripture with me. And I'm like, who is this guy? I don't know him like this. But all this time, my mom's praying. God's like putting all these pieces together. And he's so kind. He brought our entire family into get together. And then brought me into repentance. Then brought me to my knees. And so I just think that God's got this grand plan for each and everybody's life out there, and that you know, we might think that our prayers aren't answered, but he's got an amazing, miraculous plan in place, and he's making sure all the pieces fit perfectly together before he actually just ties the ribbon on the gift, you know, and puts the icing on the cake, you know. So
the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and he was on your trail.
He was on my trail.
And you were actually practicing darkness.
Yes.
And the enemy likes to take possession of that which is his, but the mercy of God.
Yeah.
And so when you look at that time period, mom's praying, dad's coming, do you see any protection, any mercy of God? Can you look back and say, I now know without question that there wasn't a moment that I was left without God's hand of protection on my life?
I look back in so many scenarios in my past, and I can see God's hand on it for sure. I mean, just for example, the last time I was arrested, I gave the caught the struggle when he tried to handcuff me. And, you know, I had a warrant for my arrest. And he looked up my name after pulling me over. And he's like, hey, I got to take you in. He pulled one hand behind my back. And when he took the other hand, I gave him, like, the old stiff arm. And I, like, kind of gave him a little fight. Anytime I ever did that to a cop, I was face down in an instant to the ground with a knee on my back. And they were forcing me into the cop car. This time it was different. And this time a cop let go of me and just whispered over my shoulder, you don't have to fight anymore. And in that very moment,
wow,
I actually felt a peace come over me. I'll never forget it, because he put me in the cop car and I'm going, it's over. I don't have to live this life anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. And look, in saying that, 2 days before I was arrested, this was in Jacksonville, Florida, on Jack's Beach. I had spent the night on the beach because I had nowhere to go. I was homeless. I looked out over the ocean as the sun came up over the ocean. And I said, I was looking at my life, like realizing, man, I've made a mess out of my life. And I'm sober, not watching the sun come up over the horizon. I said, you know what, God, if you're real, I need help. 2 days later, that cop arrested me. And I look back on that scenario and I go, that wasn't a cop. That was Jesus in the flesh. You know, and that was because of my mom's prayers. Yeah. You know, that was because I cried out to him. That was because, okay, I acknowledged my sin, you know, the A in prayer. I acknowledged my sin, looked out of the ocean, said, God, I've made a mess. I'm sorry. I need your help. And that's when he sent the angel armies down and said, okay, it's go time.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Give us your name and where you minister and how did you end up there?
My name is Jared Cook. And I minister in Hillsong Church on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia. Mm. And I ended up there because I made the decision after being arrested and spending a year in jail. I got time served when I went to court and then another year. And they allowed me to go into a rehab. And through another God miraculous encounter, I got to go to Dunklin Memorial Camp, which is out in Okeechobee.
Yep.
And it was out there where God started speaking, I want you to go to Hillsong Bible College. And I thought he was nuts. I'm like, I was like, God, you're nuts. I'm a drug addict. I'm in a rehab.
Right.
Well, you know, I have no money. How am I getting there? You know? And I went to Hillsong Bible College and did 3 years, and then I did a bachelor's of theology out there. And in that time, you know, they hired me on as I was the maintenance guy, actually.
Nah.
That was my first job in there, and I just stayed on, and they kept moving me in different positions and different departments. And when I got married, they asked us to be campus pastors of one of the churches. And and that's what I'm doing now.
Awesome. Awesome. So from the pit, jail,
yep,
crying on the beach,
from criminal to Christ
to Dunklin criminal to Christ. That is awesome. So Mom, you're still praying?
Yep.
You didn't stop, right?
Absolutely never stopped. And that's what I would want to encourage the listeners, don't give up.
There
Jesus
you go.
Said pray always and don't lose heart.
Don't lose heart.
Don't lose heart. I could have lost heart, but I never did.
Yeah.
God's word kept me praying, because when I lost words, just didn't have it anymore, I would read scripture and just turn it into prayers for him. And God's listening. He's hearing and he's working, as Jared was saying. He's putting all those pieces of that puzzle together.
Yeah.
Mm.
And sometimes it takes longer, you know? The enemy is after our kids' destiny,
they
especially
are.
A
they
destiny
are.
Like that. Mm-hmm. And
I think it because of those prayers. If there was a doctor present in three scenarios in my life, I would have been pronounced dead for sure. I woke up off on the floor with a needle in my arm and everything.
Three different times.
And I think because of my praying mother, God kept my heart beating, you know?
Yeah, God said, no way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not
he
today.
He had a purpose
not today.
For you.
Not
yeah.
today.
The enemy was trying to take it.
That's right.
So, Jared, what would you say to the moms and the grandmas that are listening today and are saying, oh, I would love for that to be true of my family?
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say, first, stop enabling your son and helping him and start praying for them.
Wait. Stop.
stop enabling and helping them. You know, you know.
When you think
you mean
you're
stop
helping,
blessing
you
know. Their mess.
Yes, yeah. Stop blessing the mess. I like that. Yeah, and start praying for them.
There you go.
Yeah. You know? So it was when they let go, is when God could actually he could pick me up. You know,
we
so.
Actually filed charges against Jared.
Yeah. People look at that and think that's really tough. You know, when Teen Challenge they started. You know, I just talking with them. They're like, hey, you got to quit. Trying to save them. Only Jesus can save them. That's you right. got to quit mm-hmm. trying to show up, get them out of every mess. Mm-hmm. They need to learn consequences, you know, to their behavior. So it is awesome having both of you this morning. You. And Penny, I know that you have been teaching on prayer. You've been practicing prayer. And I would like to follow up with you a little more, maybe as we start the year, see if we can't figure out how to do some things maybe over the first few weeks.
Wonderful.
And maybe we can kind of bring the 6 weeks into six thoughts that we can kind of challenge people. And how can people get your book?
They can get it on Amazon.
Okay.
If you're looking to do many copies to do it as a group study, I would go to ironstreammedia.com.
What is that?
It's Ironstream Media.
I-R-O-N.
Yep. Iron sharpens iron.
Ironstream Media?
It's actually put out by New Hope Publishers, which is a part of Ironstream Media. So they can get it through those venues, but can also contact me at pennycookauthor.com, and that's Cook with an E. And, you know, I just encourage any moms or grandmoms that are out there and you're struggling, hit the contact button on my website. I'd love to have a chat with you.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Jared, lead us in prayer for all those families that are in process, work in process. And maybe you have a son or a daughter that started toward home, but they're not where they need to be. And remember God's promise, he that began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And so we want to pray for that completion in our families where there's healing, there's restoration, and then there is fulfillment where our families become proactive in fulfilling the call and the purpose of God in their lives. And so either Miss Karen's going to talk or else Jared's going to talk now and lead us in a moment of prayer.
I'd love to pray. Thank you. Thank you. God, we love you. We thank you for everything you've already done, even the things we don't see yet. And I just pray right now, Lord, for each and every person praying for their son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give them strength to persevere in their prayers, that you give them words to pray, that you lead them through your word, Lord, and give them scripture to pray over their son or daughter. And I just pray, Lord, as they do that, Lord, you start sending the angel armies, Lord, to surround them, to protect them, Lord. And I just pray that you keep their heart beating, Lord. And I just pray that that son or daughter will know that they are called, that they are chosen, and that they have a purpose, Lord, in you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the work you've already done, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you continue that. We pray for Justin, the grandson Justin, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you just bring his life back on track, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, that you bring your hand upon him and protect him, Lord, and that you allow just your just a hedge of protection around all anything he's doing, that'll just allow him to live in your light, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we look forward to staying in touch and hearing some good reports about what God's doing down under. Maybe before you head out of town, you can give us another shout, talk a little bit about what God's doing in the nation down there and why you are there and why you're staying there, at least at this time. Penny, great to have you with
Thank
us again
you so
today.
Much.
And again, the name of the book that I've been talking about, Pursuing Prayer by Penny Cook. Penny, one more time, how could people get that book?
You get it on Amazon or go to newhopepublishers.com. If you want multiple copies, there is a discount for multiple copies.
Amen. All right, keep your dial set right there at 89.9. So glad that you've joined us today. And Karen, did you have a word of wisdom before we go to our revival song?
The only thing I just wanted to say that, Jared, I've never seen such a wonderful picture of how you said how the Lord brought everything around in your family.
It was beautiful.
I mean, that that really has touched my heart, and it's I hope it's an encouragement to our listeners. And
he's got a plan.
Exactly, because I, you know, I've been with people. I'm an intercessor, and I've been with people that, you know, I hear them praying for their children and their grandchildren, and I always feel in my heart, just let go, just let go of them, and let the Lord do His work. Mm-hmm. You know, and it sometimes I feel like maybe a parent would hinder what God's doing, but anyway, but God's faithful to hear and answer all of our prayers.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That's great.
Thanks. That was it.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was real good. This is a revival song, and we are believing God for Revival America.
We wanna see miracles. your presence. We want to see revival. Jesus, bring us back to you. Oh, we need you to. We want to see revival.
And we are back. Keep that dial set right there on 89.9. This is Wednesday Live. And we're coming to you from our beautiful studios here in Palm City, Florida. Actually, we are so blessed to be in Florida looking at all that snow and praying for those families. My goodness, the loss of life and the challenges and the stories that are coming out of this. Father, may your mercy be upon many of those hearts that are straining today to know where to turn. And Father, I just pray that the churches, the pastors, the leaders, your people will be actively involved in reaching out, loving, caring, sharing, and lifting up. And Father, I pray for life in the midst of the death. And we just pray for our nation that we would truly turn our hearts back to God, that there would be a great awakening from the pulpit to every seat in the house of worship. And I pray, Father, that in our land that there would be a great awakening in Jesus' name. Well, this is the second half, and we have already been so blessed. I mean, how do we get a pastor from Australia to show up? You know, the only thing, you didn't bring any hopping animals, and I like hopping animals. But anyhow, Penny, what a great story. Karen, we have a guest now that this is like an answer to prayer. I'm so excited to have Chris Collins with us. Do you go by Chris? Christopher?
Christopher.
Okay. Christopher Collins. And Christopher is a chiropractor, a doctor of chiropractic, and he also is on the Stewart City Commission.
You got it.
And we are blessed to have you with us today. Karen, you just opened up by saying something really important a moment ago before we went on air.
Well, again, the fact that, you know, since we've been doing Wednesday Live, every week we've been announcing, you know, Martin County, they put out emails with, you know, looking for people to serve on different
volunteers,
boards or committees. And we've been encouraging believers to get involved with the local government. And I think, Christopher, your answer to that.
One of the things I've heard as a pastor over the years, I just don't know what to do. You know, I'm tired of sitting in a seat. What can I do that's going to make a difference? And so to set up our time with you, Chris, I have had at least three, maybe four calls from people that I've known for many years that called and said, there is a struggle and there is not opening prayer at the city commission meetings. And I attended a meeting and I thought that there was some positive movement to see that restored. And then it, you know, it looks like that got flipped around the other way. And so I've had people calling me as a pastor and also calling me as the station manager saying, you know, what is going on? What can be done? So welcome, Chris.
Yes, I'll give you the quick backdrop on that. And just about me, I got elected September. So I'm brand new. I have a four-year term in the city.
Welcome.
So
you're not for sale.
I'm not.
Good, good, good. God's looking for people that are going to be faithful and stick with the program.
That's right. So in terms of prayer in the commission, the county commission, so the Martin County Board of County Commissioners, the school board, the Martin County School Board, both pray. They have invocation at the beginning of their meetings. It's a policy. It is set in as a part of their structure that at the beginning of meetings, they invite
part of the agenda
a local pastor. It doesn't have to necessarily be a Christian only, but somebody to come in and head off the meeting, start off the meetings with prayer.
Yeah.
So I saw that that wasn't happening in the city and asked around and I couldn't get straight answers. Some people told me, well, we haven't done that for 5 years, up to 40. I really don't even know how long we haven't. But it seemed like an obvious, why would we not appeal to something higher than ourselves? I mean, you should want your elected officials, of anybody, you should want them to feel like they are subject to something higher than just their ego and agendas or whatever, right?
So true.
Taking a moment to have a solemn look at something bigger than us and inviting local people that are community leaders into your
commission to be a part of it.
It's all good.
It's good stuff. So yeah. I threw that out in October that, hey, let's have a discussion about it. The way policy changes work in the city is you have to go through two rounds of and call them readings, right? So you have to get two back-to-back approvals for a policy change, right? For that to be now a part of our city commission meetings and that to change and have that resolution and ordinance, it has to go through two rounds where we discuss it, we vote yes, and then we finally codify it on a second vote. The first vote went through on November 28th, 3-2, sort of by the skin of its teeth, seemingly reluctantly. I was kind of surprised, but it went through. It did pass. And then December 12th, so our last meeting before, you know, the holidays here, a lot of people anticipated that it would go through no problem. But I made the motion, and it couldn't even get a second. And then Commissioner...
It died
on the dais. So Commissioner Bruner voiced her reluctance to back it any longer, and you know, I won't speak for her, but she cited basically concerns about inclusivity and things have been a certain way for a long time and why should we change it. I actually put a video up on my Facebook where I just took clips of that meeting and tried not to impose too much of my own, you know, perspective on it, but her words. And then Commissioner Clark was the other that had previously seconded it and then backed down, so it was basically 1-4. At this point, it can be brought back up again, but you wouldn't want to have it be brought up and then voted down because that would prevent it from coming back up again in the future. So it's sitting in this sort of purgatory where it needs to have support to be able to be voted on. Otherwise, you don't want to touch it until there is. And what I've told people to do, because it's like, okay, we didn't even realize it could get voted down. What do we do now? Our first commission, regular commission meeting is January 9th, so for 2023. And we got 30 emails the next day. We got 30 emails that came in and said, hey, roughly, maybe a hair over 30, we would like you to reconsider. We would like to see prayer. We think that would be a good thing in the city commission. So I would say you have the attention at this point, but if residents don't show up and say, hey, we'd like you to reconsider, would you? It's going to get swept under the rug. So I would encourage anybody who is surprised or didn't know that this was happening or thought we did pray or just wants to support it to come on the 9th. You should come, and we have public comment. Each person can have 3 minutes. You just fill out a little green card. If you're there at 4:30, you know, public comment will usually be around 5, but you don't want to miss it. So be there, you know, at least 4:30. But take your 3 minutes and reasonably pitch why it would be good for the commissioners to hear the other side. Because to be honest with you, there wasn't one of the main reasons, and I hate to put too much, you know, guilt or pressure on Christians. We got enough to worry about, but 3, maybe 4 atheists showed up and offered resistance, and that was about all it took for it to fold. You know, there were, I don't want to indict some of the religious leaders, but there were pastors there that didn't even speak to it. I was very surprised. So it just sort of, you know, it seemed like the public support was against it, where I know that's not the case. I've had a lot of people reach out to me, but I'd like for them to. And I know I'm talking a lot about this, but it's not a legal issue. So this is something that's been brought up as well. Oh, well, they're taking, you know, we have the right to pray. You totally can. It's not a legal thing. The Supreme Court has beyond confirmed the right for people to pray in that commission and for the city to enact that resolution where we have invocation at the beginning. It's purely at the discretion and pleasure of the board. They are elected officials who represent you. So if you are unhappy with their take on what the public opinion was, you need to leverage and express that to those elected officials, not sue them or, you know, so just express and come. I would say come to the meeting would be the best thing to do.
Okay, now you mentioned 30 responses.
One of them was from a group that was opposed, but other than that, it was all.
out of the 31 imposed.
Yeah, it was like 32 emails. And we've had some that have trickled in since.
So
that have all been positive for it.
What is the email address that people could...
There is a form on the Stewart City Commission website. So if you go to City of Stewart and you look at their website and go to the commission, there's a little form that allows you to send in an email. And we all get it, including the city manager. It goes to all commissioners and they'll see it.
Okay, so January the 9th, 5 o'clock, there's going to be a meeting.
I would say be there at 4:30.
Be there at 4:30 at the latest.
Right. We have like an initial hour where we go through proclamations and things, and you know, but you don't want to miss that window to be able to speak.
So this is at the City of Stewart, Martin County.
121 Flagler is the address, City Hall.
There you go, 121 Flagler.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's just a misconception that there's not a lot of support for it anymore. So if you show up, I know we're all busy, but if you will carve out that time to fight for something that is important, I know a lot of people feel that way. Do it. This would be the time.
Karen, we're always, you mentioned it, from week to week, we're always on this topic. The darkness seems to function well. And the darkness is what it is. But why does the light not function so well? God has done such amazing work in any born-again Christian's life. And what I have seen over the years, and many of you pastors are very dear friends of mine, and you know this is true. We get busy. We get busy with necessary things, good things, but it's easy for us to be too busy. And if you're standing on my toes, then you have my attention. But if you're not if the devil's not standing on my toes, then I'm going to work my agenda. And this is where the temple was. Jesus went into the temple, and when he went in, he found the money changers. He found the pollution that was there. He found the corruption that was there. He turned the tables. He cleaned the temple. And he said, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. And so if the temple, we've been talking about prayer today. You're coming in, we've already been talking about prayer. Penny has written a book on prayer. Got the book right here. We're encouraging people to fast and pray for the first 40 days of the year, or at least jump in for a 21-day period of fasting and praying. The City of Stewart's going to be part of our prayer focus. We're going to pray and believe God.
Can I speak to your point?
Sure, do it.
So, what people don't realize, because we're so busy working or we're involved in our ministries or whatever we're doing, and like you said, nobody cares until they're stepping on your feet. I didn't. I never went to those meetings. I didn't care until it stepped on my feet. But there's maybe at times 10 people in a room that are setting the policy that will affect 20,000 people. Okay? And in the political sphere, it is a war of ideas, right? So what's happening is when an agenda item comes up, there's public comment, commissioners are weighing in, there's a lot that is being mulled over, and then a decision is reached. If you are not a part of that process, there's none of your voice there. And if you only show up when they're messing with the sidewalks on your street or trying to rezone your business or something, and then you're gone, there's an acronym for that. They call it not in my backyard. They don't even, I don't want to say that nobody cares, but there's less weight on those opinions. The war that's happening is a war of values. Okay, so it's not just about prayer. It's about, like, what I try to represent when I come in there is the American dream, right? Home ownership, not just apartment rentals, not high-density apartments.
Yeah.
Clean water for my kids so we can recreate here and not have discharges. Traditional, more conservative values. It's larger scale. And the secular progressive view pitches itself as neutral, right? When the atheists come up, they say, why do we don't need prayer? Prayer is this addition in here. It makes it messy. Let's keep it clean. Let's keep it neutral. But secular progressives have their own worldview, their own value set that just happens to be very different than that of a Christian.
It's not neutral.
It's not neutral. They have their values and morals, and that gets expressed, and it affects policy. It affects where money is spent. All of that is happening in that room. And so if Christians are too busy or unaware to show up, those agenda items that get voted on and policies don't really fully get expressed and manifested into stuff that you see built for 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we go, oh, whoa.
How did that happen?
Whoa. But we had no idea because we weren't there.
Yeah.
So my pitch to Christians or conservatives or anybody whose traditional values are along the same lines of what I'm about, show up, be there, carve out the time. It's hard. It's, we all are trying to work. You know, you got a meeting at 4:30. Who can do that? You got to be there, because if you're not, for me, it's my kids. Like, what kind of city are my kids going to live in?
Right.
You know, if nobody injects my kind of values into that. So please come. Be a reasonable voice. You know, when it's stepping on your feet, you're frustrated. You know, you're angry. That comes across on that microphone. When people are hearing that, they kind of dismiss that. Oh, they gaslight you. You're crazy, you know? But when you're there consistently and you have a voice and you know who these people are, and you're holding them accountable, but you're in the sense that you have relationships with them.
Right.
Like, we're all trying, everybody who is on that commission, I don't mean to demonize anybody. Everybody's genuinely trying to do a good job.
Right.
People all want a good city, but we need more Christians, or, you know, people with those values there. Be there.
We need more Christians there.
Speak up.
You said it.
Speak up.
You said it.
Speak up.
You said
all the values of the city should be represented. All the different peoples, and, you know, what's important to them. And if you're not there, I know I'm beating this to death, but you're not there.
Well, that's,
you're not heard.
That's why we wanted you to come in today to address this. January the 9th, 4:30 in the afternoon, get in, 4:30, get in, sign up.
And you what can we're have asking your 3 minutes. For, if you're on the same wavelength, is, hey, would you please reconsider?
Okay.
These are the reasons why.
Yeah.
It's not that they removed prayer. That was kind of a misconception. What I introduced is reintroducing prayer back into meetings. It's not that anybody's taken out. It hasn't even existed. For however long it's not existed, and you're asking the commission, hey, would you please reconsider that? We would like to see prayer here.
Well, this is something that that as the body of Christ in Martin County, we can do. We can come together, and we can support. We can support this endeavor. It's very important. January the 9th.
Yes, sir.
Put it on your calendar.
It's a Monday night.
You know, I am normally in a men's prayer group that night. When I shared this with my men's prayer group, immediately, and we have families that live in the city of Stewart, immediately the response was, why don't we consider moving our prayer group to the meeting that evening?
Sure.
And being there, being visible, and participating in what's taking place. And so I know
I'll say this is a little cheeky, but Book of Joshua, okay?
Yep.
Book of Joshua. Because everybody, instantly the mind comes up with reasons why you can't be there, okay? The Book of Joshua, imagine if he was rallying everybody, said, all right, it's time to go take that city. The ninth? 4:30. That's my sister's anniversary. The ninth. We're not going to be able to do that because it's we got to go to dinner with our friends. Or I'm telling you, take it seriously. This is an important one.
Pastors, I want to talk to you. It's not too late for you to put into your notes for Sunday morning to do something that can make a difference. Say, well, I have my message and it's not in the bulletin. That's okay. You're the senior pastor. You can get up and say, this coming Monday night on the 9th at 4:30, we need to come together as the body of Christ And we need to pray that vision is caught on the not just at this meeting, but that vision is caught on the hearts of God's people to become actively involved.